Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight what I want to do is I want to talk to you about God's ability and His presence and what thinking about that can do as we navigate what are very interesting and very unique times. Especially as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic, I think it's safe to say most people just wish it was over, right? I mean, like, can we get out of this? You feel like you're stuck in a sci-fi movie and you can't get out of it, right? Or you're in this dream that goes on and on. And I think subtly in people's hearts and minds, not only the idea of, I wish this were over, but I'd like my life back. And every now and then, as you go through the week, it mounts up and you recognize either restrictions. Maybe you work for a company, there's travel restrictions, there's business adjustments. Maybe it's just the idea of wearing a mask. You're just like, you forgot your mask, got to get a mask. You're thinking, what a hassle. And you're going through that. Or maybe it's you're homeschooling your kids and it's something you never wanted to do, but now you're responsible in part or maybe in total for the education of your kids. And then there's just changes in the way things are done. And you add to that the elections and all that's happening there, the choice that's being made, what's going to happen to the country. I mean, because honestly, it's two very different visions. Who will be the president? Who will control the Senate? What changes will be done? Will there be a national shutdown? Will churches be targeted? Will they say, you know what, churches can't meet? I mean, all of these things are very legitimate concerns and things that people are dealing with. And what happens is, through the accumulation of that stress and that all of the questions and all the uncertainty, there is a weight of anxiety that most people maybe aren't aware of. They just know that they're feeling tense, that they find themselves short with people, or they find themselves responding in ways they might not have responded before, and maybe husbands and wives having tension. And if you think about it, you say, you know, our home hasn't been quite the same. Let me just say this, if any of that or all of that together is where you're at, you're not alone. Because this season of life in our world, in our country, is causing a great deal of anxiety and mental stress. They say that mental health apps went up the week of the election by 30%, people purchasing them. And they were already up 27% year to year. So people are trying to figure out how to cope. That's why tonight what I want us to do is in the presence of the Lord, and you made the right decision coming tonight, watching online, because the best thing any of us can do for our mental health and our spiritual well-being and our emotional well-being, and indeed I would suggest our physical well-being, is to be in the presence of the Lord. I mean, the psalmist said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. God can do more as we're in His presence than we can do in a lot of effort and activity trying to do other things. Time in His presence, a vacation's a good thing, but time in His presence will do what a vacation never could do. So I'd like us to look at a very familiar psalm. It's Psalm 46. It's one of the great psalms in the Bible and really has impacted people throughout history. Martin Luther, the great reformer, the founder of the Lutheran Church, and really a leader of the Reformation that swept Europe. As he was being challenged by the Holy Roman Emperor and threatened with death and was facing that and really standing up for Protestantism, almost alone, if you will. and feeling the threat of possible death, imprisonment. He was discouraged, at times depressed. He felt his world had been turned upside down, and he had a friend named Philip Melanchthon, and he would at times say to Philip, "Come, Philip, let us sing Psalm 46. And from that psalm, he wrote the great hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Luther said of the psalm these words, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." That's a great statement. Because a lot of times Christians just think, oh, it's just life, and they don't realize there are fanatical spirits that are challenging you, that are attacking you, that are seeking to discourage you, that are putting thoughts before you. There is the implacable hatred of the devil. He hates you. He hates the church. He hates the gospel. He hates the cause of Christ. And then there are just the assaults of this world, the flesh, and sin. And Martin Luther said, this psalm is a great antidote for all of that. So if Psalm 46 will deal with all of that, then Psalm 46 is a very amazing psalm. So what I'd like us to do, we're going to walk through it. I'll make a few comments. Then we're going to worship, and we're just going to thank the Lord and believe God is going to do exactly in our lives tonight what he did for Martin Luther when he and Philip would sing that psalm. Psalm 46 and verse 1 starts with, "God is our refuge." I want to ask you tonight, what's your refuge? What's your source of security when you face uncertainty? As you look to the future, what is it or who is it that you take comfort in? Some people take comfort in their financial security. Well, I've planned well and I've saved well, or Social Security will be there and Medicare will be, and so I won't have any worries. I know I'm going to be okay because of that. Your security is that. Now, realizing that is nothing's guaranteed. Some people, their security is in skill, or their personal skill, their business acumen, their ability to hustle, their ability to work. Others take comfort in their personal connections, thinking it's not what you know, it's who you know, and if ever I need something, I can call in favors. Some take comfort in their circumstances. It works like this. Well, it may be bad, but at least my situation is not as bad as other people I know, or it's not as bad as it could be. Their refuge is in circumstances. Some take comfort in family or in friends, and hey, praise God for the people God puts around us. But people that God brings into our life should never be the primary source of our refuge. God is our refuge. The problem with all the other things, if God is not your refuge, the problem with every other thing you could make your refuge is it can be gone in an instant. Your world could be turned upside down in a moment without notice. The psalmist understands this. So the psalmist says, remember this, God is our refuge, not your bank account, not your job, not your family, not your circumstances, as wonderful as those may be, and as much as a gift from God as they are, God is our refuge. And he goes on and says this, he's our refuge and he is our strength. The psalmist knows that ultimately we need two things from God. We need a shelter from the attack. Yeah. We need a place of refuge. And we need inner strength. And God provides both. He's our refuge and He is our strength. Look at it. The psalmist goes on and says, God is our. I love that. He's yours. He's mine. He's there for you. He wants you to understand that. Sometimes we forget it. And when we forget it, it causes us great stress and anxiety. But when we remember, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's there. He's a refuge. He's a strength and ever-present help in trouble. The eternal, ever-present God is always present whenever you need Him. He's present right now. He's right with you right now. He'll be with you when you leave this place. He'll go with you where you go. He'll be with you when you get up in the morning. He is always there. What happens is some people, though, say, well, but what if things get really bad? And what causes people so much anxiety is they're thinking about a future that may never come. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. I don't know. We can't be sure how things are going to play out. There's a lot of uncertainty, but there is one thing on which we can be very certain. God is a refuge and God is a strength and God is there and He'll always be there. You say, but what if things get really bad? Well, the psalmist answers that. Therefore, because of that, we'll not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging Selah. In other words, if you have a tsunami, if you have an earthquake, you don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is an ever-present help in trouble. That's right. Now, let me ask you this. What is the worst thing that you can imagine happening to you? What's the very worst thing? Will you need God more than you do now? Wow. And what's the answer? No. Every one of us, if we really understood the reality spiritually of life, we would know we need God as badly in this moment. We need His ever-present help and strength right now, as much now as we will ever need it in anything we ever encounter. It's just when you get at circumstances like this, you're more aware that you really need it. I mean, will it be harder for God to help you then than it is to help you now? No. There's nothing God can't do, and there's no place God can't be, and He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He's a shelter. He's a refuge. He's your help no matter what. God's there. Now, people are worried. They're like, well, what's going to happen? I mean, what's going to happen with COVID? And how much worse is it going to get? And what's going to happen with the country? If one person's elected, there could be riots. If another person's elected, there could be another set of circumstances. I mean, honestly, that's how people are processing this. And what we all need to do is have a moment of Selah. Here's what Selah is. Selah means stop and meditate. So Selah is the idea that you would stop for a moment, you get a hold of yourself, and you would think about a few things. Right now, we're going to have a Selah moment. So I'd like everybody to close their eyes. So you're watching online, close your eyes. The psalmist says, God is my refuge. Your eyes closed. God is your refuge. He is your strength. He's right there beside you. Now just think about that for a moment. God right there by you. And just take a deep breath and think about that. Selah. Isn't that good? You can open your eyes. I'm afraid some of you will go to sleep if I don't have you open your eyes. That's a Selah. When you see that in the Psalms, you stop you think about what you just read, what it means, what its application is, no matter what happens. No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens next week, no matter what happens in 2 months, 3 months, no matter what happens, God is my refuge. He's going to protect me on the outside, and He's going to renew me on the inside. And He is going to be with me, and He is going to help me no matter what happens.
That's right.
Oh, that's good to know, isn't it? And what we have to do is we have to constantly remind ourselves of this.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
Good. This is the key to wholeness spiritually. This is the key to faith, that God is with you. God is right there. God will help you. This is how you're not afraid. You're thinking, God is there. And if God is there, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good. Look at it in Psalm 46 and verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. Most scholars believe what they're talking about here, that Psalm 46 was written after the Assyrians had attacked Jerusalem, and God sent an angel, and He slew 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers and delivered the city of Jerusalem. So it's a city under siege is the picture. But would you notice there's a river that goes right through the middle of it? And I think some, when I read that, every time I think of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the presence of the Lord flowing through it. And what happens? It makes glad the city of God, that when God is, when you could have everybody arrayed against you, you could have all the enemies. It could be physical enemies. It could be emotional enemies. It could be people that don't like you, that hate you. It could be all kinds of things arrayed around you. And yet, in the middle of that situation, have a gladness and a joy that doesn't make any sense. As I was meditating on this yesterday and just thinking about it, it just occurred to me that obviously we'd have joy in the highlights of life, those big moments that are special and times that where things come together in a serendipitous way, and we're like, wow, it's just so great, and you have that sense of joy. But the psalmist here is talking about a circumstance that typically would be filled with sorrow or with fear or with terror or with you're under attack. And you can have joy there.
Really.
And I was thinking, it can come at the highs, it can come at the lows. That God, if you're in His presence, can bring you a joy like you've never known. I remember when I was in college, when I went away to ORU, and this was before the Laughing Revival had ever taken root. And I had no training in any of this. I'd never heard anybody talking about laughing in the Spirit. I'd never heard anybody ever mention. I was a newly saved person for all intents and purposes. But the adjustment of school and the adjustment of just growing up at that time, and there was I can remember going into the dorm chapel and praying at ORU and just spending a lot of time, and at times, you know, life was overwhelming at that season for me a little bit. But I remember just going and praying and just being in the presence of the Lord and having a joy where the Holy Spirit would come on me, and I would just laugh in the presence of the Lord, and it would lift my spirit. It would change my perspective. God can do that. Thinking as well of, and I shared it a few weeks ago, but it just is so amazing to me that the minute I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, which was something because of my dad having had it, was something most of my adult life was in the back of my mind. And honestly, as I moved into my late 40s, began to dread it when I saw the you know, you can tell, hey, this is what's happening. And you would think, oh, what in the world? And you just kind of dread it. I wasn't wasn't afraid. I just was like, oh, wow, that's not what I want. But the minute I was diagnosed, I had a joy. You could see it on the video. I was happy. People were like, you seem really happy about this. You know, I can't help it. I am. I have a joy. I'm not happy about the circumstance, but I'm very, and for the next 2.5 weeks to have a joy that was unlike any joy I'd ever experienced in my whole life. I've never had joy like that. That's what he's talking about here. That God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And let me just ask you this. What if you knew the thing you feared the most in your life? Whatever it is that causes you anxiety right now, what if you knew that thing would bring you the greatest joy you had ever experienced or ever known? A joy the world can't give you and a joy the world can't take away. God can bring that kind of joy in the difficulties of life as you and I think on him. And listen, there are some here tonight and you desperately need that. Some of you need a baptism of joy. You need the Lord to come upon you and be the lifter of your head, to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to turn your sorrow into joy. God delights in doing that. Here's what the psalmist says after all of that chaos of that situation. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's like a fortress up on a mountain that you can't penetrate, you can't get to. That's what God is. God is, when you think of it, you're a child of God. God says, I'm going to surround you. I'm going to make it where it's impossible for anybody to get at you. They may come at you, they won't get you. They may attack you, it won't succeed. In the words of Isaiah, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That's God's commitment to you. The Lord Almighty. The word Almighty really is probably not the best way to translate. It's a word in the Mighty Fortress is our God, Sabaoth, Lord Jehovah Sabaoth. It's the Lord of hosts. It's the Lord of angel armies is really, the message translates it, the God of angel armies. That's probably the best. It's the Lord of an army, a large, large gathering of people designed to do warfare. Purpose to do warfare. It's not just God sitting among angels playing harps, so that's not bad. It's God leading an innumerable multitude of spiritual beings created and equipped to do battle, to accomplish his purposes and to defend his people. He's that God. He's with us. He's the God who says, nobody is going to touch you. You're the apple of my eye. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I will do battle for you. The battle is not yours. The battle is mine. Let me fight it. I will. I'm the God of angel armies. And then the psalmist says this, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. In other words, it's God does this and he does this and he does this. And the psalmist is saying, listen, what you need to do as you're thinking of God being an ever-present help in time of trouble, as you're thinking of him being a refuge and a strength, as you're thinking of him being the God of angel armies, think of all the things he's done. Go through the Word of God. This is why it's so good to read the Bible. You know, when I watch people who have great faith, people who I'd really admire in the way they walk with the Lord, one of the things I notice is they talk about the Bible like it just happened. You ever been around somebody like that? You know, I was thinking about, you know, and they'll name a character and then they'll talk about it like it just happened yesterday. I love that. I admire that. I think, wow, the Bible is real to them. That's a good thing. Make the Bible real to you. And the Bible will never be real to you if you don't read it. And the Bible will never be real to you if you only read it occasionally. Get in there. Watch what God did. Watch, see his mighty works. Watch how he delivered people. Watch how he helped people. Watch how he's faithful. Watch how he parts the Red Sea. Watch how he goes before them with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Come and see what he's done. And then begin to think about all the times he helped you, all the times he's gone before you. Begin to think about that. And then rather than getting all worked up and all stirred up because Fox News said this and CNN said that, turn the TV off.
Amen.
And verse 10, do this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop your striving. Stop your worrying. Stop trying to figure out the future. Jesus says that each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Says, why do you worry about tomorrow? You can't even add one day to your life. And then you know what he says? He says, if you can't do something as easy as that, why do you worry about tomorrow? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that he's God. He's the only God. He's on the throne. He's in control. He's got it all under control. It's not up to the vote counters in Georgia. It wasn't up to the hanging Chad people in Florida. He's got it all under control. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He's God and he alone is God. And he will be exalted how? I think of Psalm 138 and verse 2. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Your name, who God is. And God's who God is tells us what he does. You've exalted above all things your name, who you are, what you do, and your word. You always keep your word. He'll be exalted by displaying that in your life. That's why no one who hopes in the Lord will ever be disappointed. You can put your trust in him. You can trust him with tonight, and you can trust him with tomorrow, and you can trust him with next month, and you can trust him with next year. You can trust him. He's God. He's an ever-present help in trouble. And he's faithful to his word. Yeah. And then the psalmist says for the third time, because he said, God's an ever-present help in time of trouble, verse 1. He said in verse 7, he said that the Lord Almighty is with us. And now he says it again in verse 11. Look at it. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's surrounding you. No one can attack you. They can attack, they can't succeed. Right. No one can touch you. Right. Listen, God has got this. And God has got you. He's right there with you. You're not walking through this alone. You're not on your own. He loves you more than you can imagine and cares about you more than you can comprehend. There's nowhere you can go or be that he would not be there. Psalm 139, we don't have time to look at it, but Psalm 139. If I go to the darkest place, you're there. If I try to go across the ocean, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. The psalmist says, oh, how precious are your thoughts about me. They're beyond number. You couldn't begin. God is thinking about you more than you've ever thought about him by a long ways. And he's there, and he cares. And he'll defend you if necessary by sending tens of thousands of angels equipped for battle. You don't have to worry. He's God. He's closer than you think, and he's with you right now.